God, thank you so much for this day that we can come, a beautiful day, to sing praises to your name, to gather with the other brothers and sisters and new friends and guests. And God, I just pray that you'd take your word now and you'd speak to us in a powerful, clear way. And I just pray, Lord, that we would know you for sure as our Savior, grow in you today, and that you'd just take away every distraction. You'd help us to hear your word, to receive it, and to act on it today. And Lord, we just pray that you'd get great glory in all of it. Pray for the North Shore, that you'd send revival and spiritual awakening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so good to see you here. First day of two services, and I can tell you, if the first service were in here, I don't know that they would fit. So praise the Lord. Just a great, great day. Yes, yes. Praise the Lord for that. And so thankful for the teams that are making this happen. There are a lot of people who are doing more work, so that's where you come in if you're not serving already, but very thankful. And I got to stand over here near the students, and they sound good today. This place was filled up with worship. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 4 today, continuing a study, a new series, but it's the second half of Ephesians. First half of Ephesians, Paul's hammering in the doctrinal truths. If you've come to know Christ as your Savior, these are the things that are already yours in Christ. And then now in this second half, he's going to answer the so what question. If these are true, what does that mean in our life? And so this series is titled Living Like We Believe It. And so we'll look at these chapters today. Today in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And God knows that I'm not the brightest one in the room, and so only God could work it out that as mapping out the sermon series through Ephesians, that the first day of two services, the text and the sermon would be one church. And so God said, help this man. He doesn't get it right all the time. So God worked that out, and it's a beautiful thing. So do you remember as a child, maybe as an adult, if you ever did this, you get into a swimming pool and you get everybody around the edge of the pool and you all start walking the same way around the edge of the pool and you keep walking and you keep walking. And then finally it begins to create a whirlpool there. I don't know if you've done that. I used to love that as a kid. If you haven't, you could get, again, you get five or six of you in the bathtub standing around, do that today and see how that works. But it's a pretty fun thing to do. But it takes everybody doing the same thing. Takes everybody walking the same way. If half the people are walking the other way, then it just, you know, messed the whole thing up. But that's a little bit like what we're looking at today in the church. See, the church is very, very important. And the church is people. But when Jesus left this earth, he gave the task of taking the gospel to all the world, to about 500 believers. And he just said, there you go. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. Go get them. And they did a pretty good job, because here we are on the North Shore of Lake Pontchartrain, and the gospel's here, so they got it all the way over here, not just they, but those that came after them. But we have the same assignment today. And so the church, we meet in a building, we can meet anywhere, the church is people, and we have a very, very important assignment. We're going to look at some truths that have to do with that today. So Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, Paul says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance toward one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Students, another thing God's good at, that this also dovetails perfectly into all the things that you've been studying this weekend. And I know that, well, Pastor Reese is smart enough to do that, but I'm not. So praise the Lord for how he does that. So here we are looking at the church. And so there's three things that I want to say to you today that I think we see Paul saying here. And the first is this: walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Paul says, therefore, and he's looking back to several things, but certainly the last verse of the last chapter we looked at, to him, that's to God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we're talking about us as believers, but we're doing it in the context, and Paul wants us to, in the context of the church. And so if God's going to be glorified in the church, Paul says, then I've got some things to say to you. He says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Remember, he said, don't worry about me. Doesn't matter where God has me. I'm just going to be a chaplain. I'm just going to share the gospel wherever I am so just God can put me here, there, or anywhere. And so he says, I implore you. Well, you remember that Jesus talked about giving us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he said, is a comforter. And so the Holy Spirit, that word comforter or helper, means to come alongside. Well, Paul's using the verb form of that noun here to say, I just want to come alongside of you. Paul's saying, let's have a fireside chat. Because Paul could just say, you know, hey, listen up, do this, do this, do this. But Paul says, I want to implore you. I want to come alongside. Let's talk together about some things that you need to know as a church. And so the first is this. He says to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. What does it mean to walk here? It means our life. It's not a snapshot. You know, wouldn't that be great if we could say, here, I want to take a picture, and this is who I am as a Christian. You know, man, I'd put on this suit, which is, that's a garage sale suit coat. God, you know, bless whoever it used to belong to. The old becomes new, right? So we put on our suit. Man, we're ready for a snapshot picture of the Christian life, right? But no, he says, let's take a video of a day and 2 days and a week and a month. He says, that's what it means to walk. It's the way that we conduct ourselves. Now, the good news, bad news is none of us are there yet. Not until we enter heaven's gates will we be perfect in Christ. But we're walking alone and together, trying to stumble the right direction after the Lord. He says, if you're a believer in Christ, the way that you conduct your life ought to change. Let's ask it this way. If your neighbor, your coworker, your friend found out that you're a believer and you come to First Baptist Church of Mandeville, would they be surprised? I hope not, right? I mean, I hope they understand we're real and we have struggles too, but I hope they wouldn't say, whoa, he's a Christian? Wow. What? She goes to church? Wow. Paul says, yeah, there ought to be a change in our life. If we really understand that we were separated from God because of our sin, but that God didn't want that so much that he left the glories of heaven, came to the earth, died on the cross, so that you and I could be forgiven and know God here on this earth and walk with him for all of eternity, that something should change in us. You take the Holy Spirit of God, put him inside of me, I'm not going to get perfect till heaven, but something has got to change. And so he says, this is the new walk. You take someone who has been set free from physical slavery. You take someone who has escaped from a communist country. They're not going to go back in there. And sometimes we kind of act like we want to go back in there. He says, no, walk in a different way if you know Christ as your Savior. We know people's physical walking styles. My kids tell us they can tell which parent is coming with the different sound of the shuffle of our feet. We know what people walk like. What do we walk like as believers? But the second thing is this. Paul's going to give us some attitudes we must exhibit in this process. So walk worthy, but hold these attitudes, because he's saying, in effect, hold on there. Before you just start storming through after the Lord, I want you to walk after the Lord. I want you to press in hard on the Lord, but don't run people over, because we're all in this together. Fellowship is two fellows in a ship, right? So we're all in one body here together. And he says, it's not going to go well unless you keep these attitudes while you're trying to grow in, walk after Christ. Well, these are in verse 2 and 3. With all humility. Oh, that we Christians would continue to work towards humility. Remembering where we came from. Remembering where we came from this morning, much less at the beginning of our Christian life. We have a tendency to do something like this. I have a quiet time, and God teaches me something, and I do it one time. And then I start looking down at other people. And I've only done it once. I'm probably not even going to get to do it again tomorrow or Thursday. I'll probably fall apart. You know, this is my new life. I've done it once. And 3 days later, I'm not even doing that anymore. But I judged about 100 people who weren't doing it in the first place. Remembering where you came from. We sometimes walk with Christ for 30 years and expect somebody who's been a believer a month to know everything we know. Boy, I tell you what, I'm kind of disappointed. After all, they're a believer. Look at what they're doing. And they've been a believer a month. We've been a believer 30 years. And would we really want someone to come in and see the video of our life? Yeah, we forget. We lack humility. We're so good at being proud of our amazing streak of serving the Lord for 2 days. So he says, you got to keep humility and gentleness, strength controlled, gentle with each other, understanding, again, that we're all struggling. We're all trying to follow after Christ. And so being gentle. Are there things that sometimes we have to talk about with people? Yes. Now, pause here. Give people permission to get in your life. Some people, right? But we need to have that kind of relationship, know each other that way, so we can, and then to do so with gentleness. If you're someone that wakes up in the morning and you've got 10 people you're ready to confront, you're probably not the person to do it. If you get excited about confronting people about their Christian life, it's probably not, you shouldn't do that, or at least not today. But we need to know each other, and there need to be people that we can allow to talk to us gently without running over us in our pursuit of the Lord. Good things, but without gentleness. He says patience. This is an interesting word. Okay. The word is macrothumia, but thumia is one of the words for anger in the New Testament, okay? So you just need to know that so you can get this picture. You understand macro. So macro, the meaning is to get as far away from anger as you can. And he's going to talk to us more extensively about that in Ephesians chapter 5. But angry Christians aren't doing the world much good, okay? We need to have firm convictions in the Scripture. We need to be pursuing doctrine to know what God wants us to believe and do. But we don't have to be angry about it. So he says, you need to be patient with one another, not expecting everybody to change today because you didn't change in one day. And so patience with one another. And he says, patience, and then also showing tolerance for one another in love. Now, he's not talking about the way the word tolerance is being used today. We lived in the Northwest for 11 years, and just again, it seemed like every Prius came pre-stuck with a coexist or a tolerance, you know, sticker on there. And again, no offense to Priuses, they're just talking about the Northwest. And it's just tolerance. Just it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. We're not talking about that kind of tolerance. But we're talking about tolerance with brothers and sisters, trying to say, you know, yeah, I'd have done that differently, but that it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I think the pastor's a few years off on bringing that suit coat back. It's actually not retro, and he missed it. You know, or, you know, I really wish that the chairs had a different angle to them. That'd be a little bit better. You know, all these things where, oh, I waved at him, I waved at her, and they didn't even wave back. Well, they didn't even see you. You thought they did. They didn't. We don't know all the facts in people's lives. Tolerance with each other, overlooking some things. We don't have to give voice to every complaint. Can you imagine a room this size, how many complaints we could generate if we wanted to? Man. And again, I love preaching about tithing when finances are good. I love preaching about church unity when unity is good. So it's an easy sermon to preach because you're there. You're doing these things. The church is healthy. We just don't want to ever let up in these things. So you're tolerating things in love, putting others first. That's what love is. Putting Jesus' church first. That our first thought is not, what did I not get, but how strong is the Lord's church and how effective is the church going to be at reaching the lost and making disciples and not giving voice to everything and overlooking things. I'm so thankful that you're not a church like I'm about to describe. I've seen churches before where people say, I want our church to have children and students, but I don't want to see them, smell them, or hear them. Okay? That's not where you're at, but there are churches like that. They want to go home confident that their church has young people, but they don't want to be around them. And so praise the Lord, you're not there. And the children are tearing up hey, how about thank the Lord we've got children who can tear something up, right? And so I'm thankful. I applaud you for that. Busting at the seam with children. 61 children this morning in life group. 22 students this morning in life group. Last week we had those children up here singing. That was just first through fourth grade up here singing last week. So praise the Lord for that. And then praise the Lord for the oldest in our congregation. So we don't want a young church, an old church. We want all ages. And we teach our young people to learn from and respect those who have paved the way, sometimes literally, for the places that they get to enjoy. And then we teach our older folks what you're doing so well to say, hey, praise the Lord that we've got children and young people. And by the way, they need more teachers. Some of you used to teach in children and students, and it may be time for you to come back around in those things, but we're going to need teachers to keep up with what God is doing in these areas. So he says, tolerant with each other in love. And then verse 3, being diligent to preserve. This word diligent there means eager, active, to preserve the unity. Here's what happens. In your marriage, in your family, in the church, unity doesn't keep itself going accidentally, okay? It's like the second law of thermodynamics applied to relationships. Things usually go from good to worse, okay? And so we've got to work at it. He says we've got to be diligent, eager to pursue, to work after keeping the peace that God has blessed us with, to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Now, here's a neat thing, that there's unity within the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They've got perfect unity. And God says, you can have that same kind of thing in the church, but you're going to have to work diligently to preserve it because people offend us. And again, if I haven't offended you yet today, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten to you. I will in just a little bit. It just happens. And so rather than being shocked, to be able to say, was there a biblical issue there that needs to be spoken of? Well, then, no, maybe I just overlook it. Jesus gives us Matthew 18 there to talk about what to do when someone has offended. I'm pretty convinced, really, that we sometimes look at Matthew 18 about how we deal with somebody, that we go talk to them and we take someone else to talk to them, and if they don't repent, they come to the church. I lean towards thinking that Jesus was talking about people doing something against him, not against us. Most of what I see in the scripture about what people do to me, Jesus says, forgive them. If there's something to talk about that's concrete, maybe there's a misunderstanding, sure. But in the most part, just get over it and forgive them. And if you have a relationship with them, yeah, maybe talk about it. But I think most of that, really, he's talking about when people are doing something against him. We like to make it about us, right? And so he says that you need to continue to work toward the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This word bond here, it means a fiber. It's like a tendon or a ligament. You ever pulled? I've pulled a hamstring a couple times. That guy's, at least, you get old and don't remember it, and you think you can still run like you used to, and you pull a hamstring. It's terrible. I was playing Capture the Flag with a couple families, and I pulled my first hamstring, and you're just writhing in pain. And some youth playing with us there, and I'm just writhing, and then one of the girls says, he's faking it, tag him. I'm like, I'm dying here. But here's the deal. When you pull a ligament like that, you don't tear the whole thing. It's just a little bit. It hurts that bad, just a little bit, because it's so strong, because it's wound and bound together. I think Paul's saying here, we have a bond as believers in Christ that we need to not put it on, that bond, with Elmer's glue. We need Gorilla Glue on that. We say, you can offend me, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family, and we're family in Christ. And I'm sticking with you through thick and thin, striving toward keeping this bond together that comes from the Lord. If we understand the stakes are so much bigger than what I like and what I don't like. See, it's not my church. It's not your church. It's his church. And he's given us the mission of not drawing a circle around us and saying, yeah, this is it. Man, we like this. And y'all come. We do say y'all come. But he's really about drawing a circle around the world around us and saying, y'all go. But what we want to have people come when they're around me and you, when they're around us in this room, outside this room, we're wearing a First Baptist Mandeville t-shirt, or we've got some kind of thing that identifies us out there. We want them to see in us, and when they're around us as a group, oh, here's a church of just real people. That's what I always tell people. Come see us. We're just a bunch of real people. And in the whole, they're just trying to follow after. They're trying to walk in a manner worthy. And they're doing it. They're trying to do it with humility and with patience and tolerating each other and understand that different people are at different places along the way. That's what people want. They want authentic, real people who are perfect, but are trying to deal with life according to the ways that Christ would have us deal with. What we don't want, you're not here, so understand, I'm not saying this. We don't want to say, hey, neighbor, you've gotten to know me over the years. Hey, coworker, you know who I really am. Why don't you come down to our church so you can learn how to fight with your family the way that I do? Why don't you come down to our church so you can find out how to fight with your wife and your husband the way you know I do, right? Let's get a little personal here. So that if you come to my church, you could be the neighborhood gossip like I am. You could learn how to cheat on financial things and taxes like me. Again, you're not there. Which church do we want? We want that real church. Imperfect. But look into the Word to say, God, where am I falling short? And instead of focusing so much on other people who need to grow in Christ, God, where am I in growing in the Lord? Well, the last thing here, he just wraps it up to talk about the oneness of the church. The oneness of the church universal, and then the oneness of the body of believers here. A oneness. He says there is one body. Now, there is one universal body. You ever meet a believer that's not from our church, or maybe he's from a different land? There's just that instant electricity there, because you are part of that one body, and we are part of one body, one local body of believers. This is the building where First Baptist Church of Mandeville meets and celebrates that God has called us to be one body, one spirit. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to live inside of each believer. And so then we have that connection, that family connection, because the same Spirit living in me is the Spirit living in you. And he says, you were called in one hope of your calling. You've been called. He talked about this in the first three chapters. The hope of your calling. Remember, hope in the New Testament doesn't mean I hope so. It means an expectation, a waiting. And so we've got a calling from Jesus, and we have it together. And so we all know, hey, we're part of the team that when he comes, we're going with him. And so we have that expectation, reliance on him coming through with his promises, and that locks us together in this mission. And then he says there's one Lord, only one Lord, only one Christ, only one way to heaven. All ways don't get to heaven. There, you know, anybody in America can believe anything they want to believe. But if you are not trying to teach his word, you're not trying to share the gospel of Christ, you're teaching some other way, it's not a church. Now, I wish sometimes as Baptists we'd have thought of this. Jehovah's Witnesses, for example. Jehovah's Witnesses are promised that if you work hard and you knock on doors day after day after day, there is a chance you'll go to heaven. Now, that's pretty clever, right? You know, we could just get a lot more work out of Baptists if we did something like that. Of course, it'd be heresy and completely wrong, so therefore we're not going to do it. But there are a lot of folks doing a lot of religious things. It's not the same faith. It's a different faith. We just need to recognize that. And so he says, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, what is baptism? We have several baptisms coming up, and we rejoice, and maybe you should be a part of that number. We use regular old city water up here. We do what Jesus said to do. It's a picture of the gospel in your life, that the old man, the old woman without Christ, spiritually dies. Spiritually, you're born again with the Spirit of God living inside of you. But it's a mark. It's a demarcation that says, count me in. I'm publicly identifying with Christ. And so I'm saying that what he did on the cross spiritually applies to me, so that the old man is dead and the new one is alive in Christ. There's one baptism, only one way to follow after Christ. One God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, because it's his church. And so we've got to always come together. And there's really only one place to come together, and that's over his word. You imagine the number of opinions in life that there are in here. You know, if we tried to order pizza together, imagine how chaotic that would be. Well, I need, you know, gluten-free. I need this kind of topping. I don't want that kind of topping. I ordered the other day. We ordered pizza. I was so happy. We had a coupon that didn't work. You ever do that? They get you. The coupon doesn't work, and you go ahead and order it anyway. And we were trying to hurry, and I was clicking through. They had 1,000 choices on there. This has nothing to do with anything. 1,000 choices on there, and somehow I ordered no cheese. So it comes, and the family's like, what's the deal with this pizza? We had to add cheese, you know, and put it anyway. So don't have me order your pizza. Where were we? So we can't even agree on pizza toppings, right? So we got to have one place to meet. First John tells us that true fellowship as a believer happens when we meet at Jesus. Kathy and I first got married, and you know, as a woman, she was worried about all these things that it was no big deal, right? Stay with me here. Don't throw anything. I'm going to get humble in just a minute. So we'd go out in public, you know, a mall or somewhere, and we're going to part ways and meet up. And, you know, Kathy say, you know, where do you want to meet? And I, you know, as a husband, I'm like, I'll just find you. Well, after Boston, we decided that wasn't a good plan, and that Kathy was actually right, and that when we part ways, yeah, we need to have a place and a time we're going to meet. And as believers, that place and that time has to be the Scripture. Not my opinion, not your opinion, but God's opinion. There was a man, and he had a flat tire. Pulls over, gets out. You ever been there? you ever bought some of the cars that I bought over the years where the tools aren't right and you realize, I can't change this flat tire. Well, another guy pulls over, has mercy on him, pulls over, says, hey, friend, what's happening here? Well, I got a flat tire, I don't have the tools. He said, well, I've got that. Let me help you. So he starts pulling the tools out and they're talking a little bit. And so the guy who's helping says, hey, you know, I thought I'd ask you if you've ever come to know Christ your Savior. And the guy says, hey, I'm a believer. And he says, well, how about that? That's great to meet you, two believers out here. And he says, just curious, you know, what kind of believer are you? You go to a Protestant church? Yeah, I go to a Protestant church. How about that? That's great. What kind of Protestant church? He says, well, it's a Baptist church. Really? I go to a Baptist. It wouldn't happen to be Southern Baptist. Southern. How about that? Two believers, Protestant, Southern Baptist. That's great. You got Sunday night service too still? Yeah, we got Sunday night service. Oh, boy, that is just like us. That is so wonderful. Hey, sorry to get in your, I know I'm going too far here. One more question. Do you believe in the end times? Are you pre-mill or post-millennial or amillennial? And he says, well, I'm post-millennial. He says, fix your own tire. And he drives off. The point is what you get, that we do that sometimes, don't we? I mean, man, there's some things that are clear in the scripture. There's some things that, you know, it's okay. There are churches I wouldn't join, churches I wouldn't want to go to. But, you know, they're trying to teach the scripture. They're preaching the gospel. So, hey, good on you. Keep going. We can cooperate at certain levels. Wouldn't necessarily want to plant a church with them and have to agree on everything. But just as there are churches like that, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who, truth be told, we have differences. And there's some things that are just clear. As your pastor, of course, I have to sleep at night. And so what the scripture says clearly, I have to act on those things. But we've got grace for one another. Remember that whirlpool we were talking about at the beginning? If you did that, you remember how you could eventually lift your legs up, kind of float for a minute? Now, it wouldn't work if everybody floated the whole time. It would die. But you could float for a second, and you get your feet back under you. Sometimes we need that as believers. There's a time where I might need to float a little bit, and you might need to help carry me along. But then I might get my feet back because maybe in a little while you need to float a little bit. And I need to be the one coming alongside of you and saying, how can I help you? Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pressing hard after Christ. And maybe if we've developed a relationship as we should, maybe you can say to me, hey, have you considered this part of your walk with the Lord? It's up to you and God, but I just want to come alongside of you. And there's something you might consider here or vice versa. Again, because we've given each other permission. Don't ramrod over and run over everybody in your pursuit of Christ. I thank the Lord for what he's given you here at First Baptist Mandeville. I thank the Lord for the spirit that's just like what I'm reading here. So we have to work hard. There'll be growing pains. There'll be things that we wouldn't have done that way. But we'll forgive each other. We'll have patience with each other. And we'll say, what's the biggest thing? The biggest thing is that our church is healthy and that we're trying to reach the lost and make disciples. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word to me and to us today. I thank you for the joy it is to preach this message to a church that is unified and that does have this kind of spirit. But God, protect us, help us. Help us to not be caught off guard. Help us to see when the devil tries to throw little things at us to get us at odds with each other. Help us to work hard, to be diligent, to preserve the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, God. Lord, there are those here today who their biggest need is they don't know you as Savior. Help them today to come and say, I don't understand everything, but I want to know for sure that I know Christ. There are those who need to join in the group who's planning to follow you in believers' baptism. There are those who need to make this their church home today. And then there are countless ways that you've spoken to us. Lord, maybe we need to admit that we're prideful as a believer, and we need to ask you to help us to pursue you really hard, but with humility. To have convictions but not be angry about them, and to give grace to our brothers and sisters in Christ along the way. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand together. First note of the first stanza, if the Lord's spoken to you, you just step out and say yes to what he's saying to you today.
Oh, to Jesus.